Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, the Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. I thank you for each one that's come. Father, I believe it's according to your divine plan that everybody's here tonight. And I think that you have something special for each one that's come. And so I pray that we would give our attention to you for the next few moments, and that Holy Spirit, you would speak to every boy, girl, man, and woman. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd speak to me tonight, and that you would work in every heart and every mind the work that needs to be worked. And we'll be sure that Jesus gets all the glory, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned, I want to look at verse 9. That's our text verse tonight. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And what I want to do is I just want to take that one verse, and I want to give you some thoughts that come to mind about reaping and about not fainting. You know, there's a lot of just good nuggets in the Bible. I mean, just a lot of one-verse truths that if we could just grab a hold of and live by. I mean, if just these four boys right here on the front row, and these two young ladies right here on the front row, and everybody all the way back, if we could just grab a hold of the truth that's in verses like Galatians 6:9, our whole lives could be transformed. Our whole lives should be changed. So I want you to think with me. You know, we live in a world that's in a hurry. I mean, the whole world is in a hurry. That's why there's so many instant things. I mean, we want everything right now. Young couples, when they get married, I've counseled a few of them. And they get married, and they want everything that their parents they want everything their parents have, and they want it right now. They forget that it took mom and dad years to get everything that they've accumulated, everything they've gotten. But we're in such a hurry; we want it right now. Kids watching TV, they'll see something on a commercial, and they'll say, "Oh, I've got to have it." And it doesn't do any good to say, "Well, let's think about it for Christmas," or think about it for your birthday. When do they want it? They want it right now. I can relate to Adam, and Adam will see something on TV, and he'll say, "I'd like to have it." Jerry, you're just making mom nervous, so you got to go back and sit by her. And I'll say, "Adam, we'll think about it. And maybe Christmas, or maybe your birthday." And he'll just say, "No, I got to have it right now." And that's the way we are. And we need to learn, and this is I want to say a word for waiting on the Lord tonight. We need to learn to just wait on Him. He knows best. He knows the perfect timing of when we need to get things. And He's got the time and control. And we just need to learn to wait on Him. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 34, "Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." Psalm 33, verse 20, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." And if we're not careful, we'll get so impatient for things that we want and things that we think we should have that we'll run ahead of God. Now, that's like in football, a fullback or a halfback running ahead of the blockers. Now, see, some of you girls may not know much about football. I don't know a lot, but a blocker is somebody that runs ahead and moves the opposing team out of the way, so that the guy that's carrying the football can run without getting tackled. And that's what God wants to do for us. God is our blocker. He wants to run ahead of us and block Satan out of the way and take all the darts of Satan so that we can walk through life unscathed and unattacked. But so many times we get ahead of our blocking. We get ahead of God. We want to do things our way with our timing. And as a result, we pay, as verse 7 and 8 talked about, we pay a price because we get ahead of God. Think about old Saul. Samuel told him he was getting ready to go to battle, King Saul. And Samuel said, I'll tell you what, meet me at such and such a place. We'll have a sacrifice. We'll ask God to be with you as you go into battle. Saul said, okay. And Saul went to that place. Samuel got delayed. He didn't come at the time that he was appointed. And Saul was like an expectant father. He was pacing up and down. He says, where's the preacher? Now, if Brother Wendell, if I'm ever late, you just go ahead and start. I mean, just start singing. And just keep singing. And if I don't show up, just keep singing. And just miss him an hour and a half after. But, you know, I'll get here. But he says, where's the preacher? He told me to meet him here at such and such a time. I've been here. He looked at the sundial he wore on his wrist. Where's Samuel? Where's he at? We got a battle to fight. We've got a war to win. Where's the preacher? And Saul got in such a hurry that he says, I guess I'll have to do it myself. And even though he knew he wasn't supposed to do it, even though he knew that offering sacrifice was the prophet's job, was the priest's job, Saul went ahead and offered the sacrifice and did disobey God and didn't wait for Samuel and got in a heap of trouble because he didn't wait on God. And the same thing will happen to us. I thought about this afternoon. Here's how you can describe our world. Hurry, worry, and bury. Bury, bury, bury. Hurry, worry, and bury. That's like we were talking about last week. We want things our way, our timing, and God says, now wait a minute, it just doesn't work like that all the time. You just can't be a Burger King Christian and have it your way all the time. Just can't do it. Sometimes you've just got to wait on me. And I think that's what the truth behind Galatians 6:9. It says, if we faint not, if we stay at it, if we wait on God, we shall reap. Now, stop and think about it. What do you think about when you think of that word reap? Reap. Harvesting. Right. The picture that comes to mind is the farmer. Huh? That's right. It's receiving. But the picture that comes to mind is the farmer who went out in the spring, took the plow, broke the ground, run the what's that thing they run over at Dave, the disc and the plow, but in the disc and whatever they do to smooth out the ground. And he goes and plants and he fertilizes and he kills the weeds and he prays that God will send the sunshine and the rain, and God does, and his crop grows, and in the fall, he goes to harvest. He goes to reap. He goes to collect what he's worked for. And that's what a reaper is. And that's what this verse is talking about. He says, the verse is saying, he says, you can reap. You can be one that wins. You can be one that succeeds. But you've got to stick to the task. You've got to keep doing what you set out to do. Now, in the Christian life, there's not many reapers. Did you hear me? There's not many reapers. There's not many Christians that do what God wants them to do. There's not many Christians that reach the heights that God wants them to reach. There's not many Christians that really get the whole bushel full of blessings, putting it in the farmer context, that God has for us. Now, we get some. Sure we do. We get some, and the blessings that God gives us are good. But how many of us are satisfied with a basket that's half full or a quarter full or three quarters full when God says, look, I want you to have a basket that's overflowing. I want you to reap so that your blessings overflow your container. He says, I'll shake it together, I'll press it down, and then it will overflow. And we can reap that way if we'll follow the prescription in this verse. Now, let me mention this. I don't think it's ever anyone's intent to get less than what God wants them to have. I mean, I don't think, I've never met anybody that it was their plan to fail. I've never met anybody that it was their plan not to succeed. But today there's a lot of quitters. There's a lot of people that just won't do what this verse says and stick with it. Faint not. Just stick with it until you reap. I mentioned this, three or four months ago, but I think it's worth repeating. Failure is not somebody who fails. All right? Hey, I want you here. Ronnie, you listen to me. Look at me. Look here, right here. Look at me. Failure is not somebody that fails. Failure is somebody that quits. Now, there's a difference. Now, think about it. Failure is not somebody that fails. Failure is somebody that quits. Think back when you first learned how to ride a two-wheel bike. How many of you learned how to ride a two-wheel bike? All right. Now, unless you were just the extraordinary coordinated person, you didn't get it on the first time. I mean, you started out on that bike and you got it on the first time, Brother Wendell? Are you sure? You remember now, you're in church. But if you started out and you sort of swayed back and forth and wobbled, maybe your daddy or mom ran along behind you to keep you from falling on the concrete. But in all likelihood, the first time you tried it, you fell. Now, if you quit at that point, you were a failure. You never learned how to ride a bike. But most of you didn't quit. You got up, you got back on the bike, you wobbled some more, and you fell again. And you got back up, and you wobbled some more, and you fell again. Until you finally got the hang of it. And that's what this verse is talking about. It's talking about, look, you can reap, you can succeed, you can win, you can do what you set out to do. You can get the blessings of God, but you can't quit. You got to keep going. You got to wait on God. You got to wait on His timing. And keep at it until you succeed. Thomas Edison, many of you know the story. He was trying to invent the electric light bulb. And he tried 900 things that didn't work. Somebody came up to him and said, Mr. Edison, aren't you discouraged? Aren't you discouraged? You failed 900 times. He says, oh no, I've not failed 900 times. I've learned 900 things that won't work. And he kept on, and he kept on. And I think he tried over 1,000, he finally got up to 1,000 things and invented the electric light bulb. And that's what God's saying to us in this one verse. He's saying, don't quit. Don't faint. You just keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. And if you keep at it, if you faint not, you shall reap. Greatness is not determined by what it takes to start you. All right? It's not greatness. A great person is not determined by what it takes to get that person started. Greatness is determined by what it takes to stop a person. What it takes to stop a person. Now, that verse says, and let us not be weary. Weary. You studied the Greek on that? That means exactly what it says. It means tired or bored or disgusted or fed up or discouraged or to the point where you don't care. That's what God is saying. Don't get weary. Don't give up. Don't get disgusted. Don't get to the point where you want to quit. He says, in well-doing. Now, well-doing is doing exactly what God told you to do. It's following His instructions in this book. It's doing what this book tells us to do. Doing what's right. And what you do in the times that you get discouraged tells a lot about what kind of Christian you are. I mean, we get discouraged. And what do we want to do? We want to quit reading our Bible. We get upset. What do we want to do? We want to quit praying. We want to quit giving. We want to quit coming to church. We want to quit living for God. And that's what we want to do when we get discouraged. When somebody insults us. I mean, they insult our tie. Or something else. They insult the way we sing. Or they insult one of our kids or something like that. And we get upset. And what do we want to do? We want to quit the things that are right, the things that God told us to do. But God says, now look, He says, don't quit. Don't get weary. Don't get disgusted. Don't get fed up. Even when you don't feel like it, you just obey Me and do the things that are right that are in this book. Look, God would rather have our obedience as He would our offerings, our sacrifice. Remember the other story about Saul? God said, Saul, I want you to go to this city. I want you to kill everybody in the whole city. Everybody. Mackie told him to kill everything in the whole city. The whole city. And Saul says, all right. He said, yes, sir, I'll do it. And he went to the city, and he saw all these animals, sheep, cows. And he said, Paul, these animals would make wonderful sacrifices to God. I know what I'll do. I'll take these animals back to Samuel, and he can put them on the altar and offer them as a sacrifice to God. Is that what God told him to do? No, he told him to kill everything. He told him to kill everybody. And Samuel says, I'll take the king back. I'll take the king back to Samuel. And so Saul took the king. He took some of these cows and sheep that he thought would make good sacrifices, and he brought them back to Samuel. And Samuel says, when he got back, what's this, Saul? Didn't God tell you to kill everything, every person? Why'd you bring the king back? Didn't he tell you to kill every animal? Why did you bring these animals back? Saul said, I wanted to sacrifice. And Samuel said, Saul, God would rather have your obedience than he would your sacrifices. Now, let me just take a little detour. Talk to all the little ones for a minute. Ronnie, look at me for a minute. All little ones. Did you know what? Let's say that you had a choice as to what you were going to give your mom and dad. Let's say over here that you could make them a pretty present. Maybe a bowl of flowers or something that you thought they would really like. You could either give them that, or on the other hand, you could obey them. You could do what they said. What do you think your mom and dad would like to have most, Angie? For you to obey them. They're just like God. Is that what you were going to say, Matt? Yeah. All right, good. they're just like God. They're just like God. God wants us to obey Him. He wants us to do the things in this book more than He wants us to give money in the offering. More than He wants us to draw a picture that shows how much we love Him. He wants us to just obey this book. And that's what this verse is talking about. It says, look, just don't get tired of doing right. Don't get tired of obeying God. Don't get tired of doing the things that God tells us to do in this book. Because it says, for in due season. Now, somebody tell me how long due season is. Huh? That's right. There's no fixed amount of time. There's due season may come the next day. I mean, you may work and work and do something that God wants you to do, and you may get your reward, you may reap the next day. Or it may be years. Or it may be after you die and you get to heaven before due season comes. But the Bible says, if you're faithful, if you'll keep at it, if you'll faint not, if you'll keep doing the good things, in due season, you're going to reap. You're going to win. You're going to succeed. You're going to see God's blessing. Now, think with me for a minute about some Bible examples. Think about old Noah. Noah's well-doing was doing what God told him to do. Somebody tell me, what did God tell Noah to do? Build an ark and save all the animals, right? God was going to destroy the earth and He was going to send a flood. And God said to Noah, I want you to build an ark to save anybody that wants to get on board and all the animals. And Micah, you remember how long Noah worked on that ark? 120 years. Now stop and think about it. That for Noah was his due season. For 120 years, Noah worked on this boat and he did something else. He preached. See, he was trying to warn people about the flood that was coming. And for 120 years, Noah worked and he preached. Now, somebody tell me, how many people did Noah have saved during those 120 years? Eight. That's right. Counting himself, there was eight. There was himself and his wife, his three kids, and his three daughter-in-laws. That's all he had. I don't know about you, but I'd get discouraged if I preached for 120 years and only had eight converts. I mean, I'd want to quit. I'd want to say, God, you need to get somebody else to do this preaching because I'm not getting through. I mean, the only people I got are the people that had to come to church. My family, they're the only ones that came. And God said, Noah, you just be patient. You just keep preaching. You're going to, in due season, you're going to reap. And what did Noah get to reap? He got to get on the boat. He got to get saved from the flood. And everything else was destroyed. All right, think about another one with me. Think about Joseph. Joseph. Somebody tell me, what happened to Joseph? Who remembers the story of Joseph? That's right, his brothers threw him in a pit. Now why? What did Joseph do to deserve getting thrown in a pit? That's right. They were jealous, but he didn't do anything that deserved being thrown in a pit. But he got thrown in a pit, and then they sold him as a slave to Egypt, and then he went to work for Potiphar and did everything that Potiphar told him to do. But Potiphar's wife got him in trouble, and he was thrown in jail for nothing that he had done, and he stayed in jail for no crime that he committed, separated from his family, falsely accused. And God came to Joseph and said, Joseph, you just stay true to me. Not one time in the 13 years that Joseph was in prison did he curse God. Not one time did he say, I'm tired of doing what God told me to do. He said, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to not get weary in well-doing. I'm just going to do what God told me to do. And in due season, 13 years for Joseph, he got it. He reaped. Is that a word? Reaped. He got his reward. He got his blessing from God. He got to stand before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh made him the second most powerful man in Egypt because Joseph stayed true. Think about Moses. Moses brought up in Pharaoh's house, trained to be a general, trained to be the next Pharaoh. He was actually trained to take over, to lead Egypt. And then he went to visit his people, ended up killing somebody that was killing an Egyptian that was beating up a Jew, and ran. And for 40 years, the only army that Moses got to lead was an army of sheep. I mean, here he'd been trained by the Egyptians to be a leader of men, to be a leader of people. And the only army that he got to lead was sheep. I mean, he was in the backside of the desert. He didn't have anybody to lead. How long was Moses' due season? 40 years. For 40 years. Now, don't you think Moses could have got discouraged? I mean, he could have said, hey, I spent 40 years of my life learning how to lead men, learning how to lead people. And yet, God said, no, Moses, my timing's right. You just be patient. You just keep on doing the things you're supposed to do. And then Moses, he got to reap. He got to go back to Egypt, and he got to lead God's people out of Egypt. And then think about Paul, Chris. Think about Paul. Let me turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 22. This is where Paul's talking about all the trials that he'd gone through. He said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths off of the Jews. 5 times received I 40 stripes. Say one. 3 times was I beaten with rods. 1 was I stoned. 3 times I was in a shipwreck. A night and a day. And Paul said, look, here's all the things I've suffered as a preacher. Here's all the things I've suffered as a prophet of God. Here's all the things that God has allowed me to go through. Now, don't you think Paul could have got discouraged? Don't you think he could have said, man, I've been in 3 shipwrecks. 5 times they've taken the cat of 9 tails and whipped me, 39 lashes. I've been beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned and left for dead. And Paul had every right to say, I just quit. This preaching business, this living for God, it's not for me. But he didn't. He stuck with it. He said in Philippians 4, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. Paul says, I can go through the shipwrecks. I can go through the stonings. I can go through the beatings. I can go through the whippings. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And in due season, Paul got to reap. You think about the countless hundreds and thousands that are going to come up to Paul in heaven and say, I'm here because you were true. I'm here because you didn't quit. I'm here because you didn't give up. I'm here and going to live here eternally because you didn't faint. You kept on doing the things that God told you to do. Now look, I know this is not real deep, but if you could just grab a hold of this truth and decide that you were going to live for God and do the things that God told us to do in this book and do it regardless of how you felt, regardless of what kind of circumstances, you were just going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. I don't know how long your due season is. I don't know how long God's going to have you work and labor before He starts sending the blessing, but He does. And as long as He knows when, we don't need to know when. We just need to keep working. Let me mention real quickly some of the people that quit. Lot quit. Lot was blessed of God as long as he did right and stayed around his uncle. But when he wandered away from Abraham, he wandered away from the God of Abraham. And he and his family paid a great price because Lot quit. Achan quit. As long as Achan served in the army and followed the commander's orders, Achan was blessed. He got to reap. He shared in the blessings of God. But when Achan says, I can't wait on God. I've got to have this Babylonian garment. I've got to have this wedge of gold, this wedge of silver, even though God had told him not to take anything. Achan didn't wait on the Lord. Achan and his family paid a great price. And for sake of time, I won't mention the others. But there's others that have quit. Others who've not stayed true and not stayed right with God. Let me encourage you tonight. You may be a Sunday school teacher. And you may come week after week. Week after week. And you teach the lesson. And you teach the children Bible verses. And you may set back sometimes, especially John with the men, and wonder, am I getting through to these guys? am I making any difference in their life? I mean, are these little ones really learning anything as I teach? Let me encourage you tonight. Don't faint. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. One day you're going to reap, and you're going to see where you may not see it till you get to heaven. You may not know the difference that you've made in the young men, young ladies' life. You may not know until you get to heaven, until you're sitting around the throne of Jesus. But you just keep at it. Just keep at it. Don't faint. Don't quit. Keep at it. There may be some here tonight. You're praying for somebody, like we talked about this morning, and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed. And God hadn't answered you. You haven't seen that person saved. You haven't seen them come to church. In fact, when you talk to them about coming to church, they get upset at you. Don't quit. This you can claim Galatians 6:9. Just don't quit. Don't quit. Just keep praying. And God promises that if we don't faint, if we don't quit, we'll reap. We'll reap. It's such a simple truth. But it's so powerful. So powerful. Father, thank you for putting nuggets like this in the Bible. Thank you for the encouragement that a promise like this gives us. So many times, because of circumstances, because of things that don't happen the way we want them to happen, or don't happen when we want them to happen, we get discouraged. We want to throw in a towel. We want to quit. I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would speak to us and say, hey, wait a minute. Don't forget Galatians 6:9. Don't forget that God promises that you'll reap if you faint not. Maybe a long due season. Maybe a long time. But I pray, dear God, that we would not be quitters. That we would continue on. And we work hard and we do those things that you tell us to do. Father, I thank you for each one that's a part of this church. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you for their willingness to work. And I pray that you continue to give us that spirit of love for one another and that spirit of love for a lost world. And I pray that you use us in mighty ways to reach this community for your Son. Thank you for letting us come tonight. And I pray that as we go to our homes now, you dismiss us with your blessing. That Holy Spirit, you give us strength tomorrow as we go about our respective tasks, and that we would stand true for this book. We would stand true for our Savior, and we would stand true for the God that loved us. Thank you again for letting us be in your house tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.